And as soon as he said Miss Molly, I thought, ooh, Molly Barker was in church this morning. And it didn't worry me or anything. But, man, Miss Molly, we love you. Every church I've been a part of, we've supported you through the years. And you are a Proverbs 31 woman, and I'm thankful for your ministry. God has used you in a great way. First time I heard you was at Union Chapel back in the 1990s. You came and gave a presentation. You were about 18 years old then, and it was great. See, even Miss Molly giggled right then. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Peter 5 tonight. So glad we can be with you. If we're going to come back on Sunday night, man, let's make it count. Amen? And go into this thing. 1 Peter 5. Y'all were so good to preach to this morning. Y'all are used to preaching. I love that. Thank you for the way your spirit was. I like to be real with people. Somebody came out this morning and said, that situation when that guy with a Lowe's truck happened, I said, that was a real situation that played out. And so we use that this morning to show how often we, if we're not careful, man, we can react versus respond, right? Raise your hand if your emotions have ever got the best of you. Okay, well, if I had stopped that guy and did a number on him, I don't think I'd be being salt and light in that moment. Now, we all laughed this morning because we were laughing about how I felt, but you got a hold of the fact, you know what, sometimes even my life, my pride, my problems, and my pressures cause me to react versus to respond. That's what this text is teaching us. We're not getting psychology from the Bible. Psychology is borrowing from the Bible. Can I get an amen right there? So we're understanding. In fact, Philippians is a great book about the mindset of Christ, how that's lived out in our lives. So Peter said, all right, you going through suffering is not a sign that you're in sin. Now, it could be. We're not dismissing it. But talk back to me for a minute. What you sow is what you reap. You always reap more than what you sow. So I'm going to be careful what I'm sowing. But just because I'm suffering, church, that doesn't mean I've sowed the wrong seed. Sometimes it is how God is growing me. When I was in junior high school, I played football all the way through. I loved doing it. I loved the game of football. I'm not saying I was a superstar at it, but I certainly enjoyed it. I remember being a seventh grader and going into our weight room at Chuck Wendy High School. It's now a combination school called Southside. But I walked in there, and they had a bar laying there. They just had a bar. That bar was 75 pounds, right? We were a little bit bigger than Elijah, okay? And we went in there, and we got a hold of that bar. And look, we act like we were 10 feet tall. Lay down that bench, because we saw those high school football players doing this, and we'd lay down that bench, and we would lift that thing, and we would pump it, and about the third or fourth punt time you pushed it, it's all uneven because your muscles aren't balanced yet. And, you know, that was great. And I remember our coach being like, okay, do it 5 times, do it 7 times, do it 10 times. Well, in a little while, we got where we could handle that thing pretty well. And they put 2.5-pound weights on the end of it. Now you feel like you were 10 feet tall, 1 inch, okay? You're like, man, now we're putting weights on that thing. And we kept working well. There was a process. By the time we were juniors, we could lift that bar with just about our pinky finger by the time we were done, because we had grown and the weight had increased. If you find the weight of your life increasing, it's not because God's trying to hurt you. It's because God's growing you. So if you got some weights tonight that have come in your life and you're like, where'd that come from? Why do I have that? Why is suffering here? It's not that, and we're going to see it in the text in a minute. God has not give up on you. In fact, it's the opposite. God is using you. So let's walk through this text with me tonight, okay? Look at this with me. We went over our pride, our problems, our pressures this morning. Go right into verse 8 with me tonight. And this is built off again. And I could almost say the same title for tonight because it could be a continuation. Are you bowing up? Are you bowing down? Peter takes care of this thought pretty cleanly in 1 Peter 5. Look at verse 8. He says, be sober. The idea of being sober there is not to be drunk. He's not talking about alcohol. And we know our stand on that as Free Will Baptists. But he says, be sober. Don't get distracted. Don't get drunk
with the things of the world. Look at me. How many things this week are you going to worry about that honestly, in view of eternity, don't mean anything? You're going to see something in a second. It's not wrong to understand what's going on in our world or our culture. That's not a sin to have an understanding of it. But Peter says there, don't get consumed with worldly things and then miss what God's trying to show you. He says be vigilant. That's the idea of being aware, being on guard. The word is used of protecting a wall. So in my life spiritually, what do I need to do? Man, I need to be alert and I need to be aware. Okay, my pride, my problems, my pressures, I won't repeat that again. They keep me sometimes from being aware and alert. Why is it so important for me not to get distracted in my walk with the Lord? It can happen to anybody, but why is there an emphasis put here in the text that I need to spiritually make sure I am awake and alert and aware? Verse 8, because your adversary. If you got an adversary tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Ephesians says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is with spiritual wickedness in high places. And so be aware and awake of this truth that we have someone who is constantly accusing us. He's slandering us. The word adversary here means someone in a court of law who's brought a lawsuit against you. And so the devil brings to God and to us his accusations and his slander. And Peter says, make sure you are awake, make sure you are aware, make sure you are alert, because the devil is going to attack you. If the devil's ever attacked you before, raise your hand this evening. Yeah, sometimes he's just started. So, church, be aware, be alert, be awake. Because there are accusations. Ephesians 6 says it's like fiery darts sometimes. There are schemes and strategies. The devil studies us as a topic. He learns our weaknesses. He knows our moments. He is not sovereign. He is not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. But we are no match for him on our own. And he says, I'm going to study you. If you marry 1 Peter 5 and Ephesians 6, you see it as a roaring lion. Let me give you a name here to let you fit what he's trying to say. A roaring lion, insert the name Goliath. What did Goliath do with Philistines? Came out in the valley every day for 40 days, and he absolutely talked junk to the children of Israel. And what did they do about it? Nothing. Why didn't they do anything about it? Because they were what? They were afraid of him. And before we, now, don't, no pun intended, before we throw rocks, we have moments we get intimidated. We have moments we get fearful. See, the devil comes, let me say this to you, when he's accusing you and slandering you. We'll go here again in a moment. The devil is trying to intimidate you. That's what he's doing. He's trying to keep you from what God's got for you. Not only is he trying to intimidate you through his accusations and his slander, which, by the way, it's all a lie. Can I get an amen there? Not only is he trying to intimidate, he's trying to incriminate. Anybody ever had their past brought up to them by the devil? The devil reminds you sometimes of things that, listen, you have long ago been washed in the blood of the Lamb over. Amen? And the devil will bring that. He'll bring it up because he's trying to trip you up. So he will intimidate, he will incriminate, he will insult. The devil will look at you and say, you don't need to be, that preacher came, he'll be gone Wednesday, don't worry about him. You don't need to be singing in no choir. Why you want to go sing for the Lord? Why you want to give that time up? You already get nervous in front of people anyway, and now they're going to make you sit up in front of the church and everybody. Why you want to get up there and sing like that? Why don't we think about it the other way? Why wouldn't we want to get up here and sing for our Lord and Savior? See how that works? Now we got it, don't we? So Peter says, I want you to be awake and aware, because the devil is seeking people he can devour. I want to say to you that the devil will attack you between your ears. He will attack you in your mind sometimes before he attacks you anywhere else. Be careful of what you let your mind sit on, what you let your mind think on, what you let your mind dwell on, because that area is the area that the devil is walking about. The idea there is he's arrogant and he's attacking, seeking who he can devour. All right. Aren't you glad this text is just not about the devil? I'm glad that I know someone greater than the devil tonight. In fact, John said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Amen? And so look at the rest of the text and it unfolds itself. So, whom resist? By the way, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Matthew chapter 4, the devil comes at weak times, and even to Jesus, he had tried to tempt Jesus and attack Jesus. If Jesus went through it, don't you think we're going to go through it? Hey, there's times of suffering the devil comes to us. There's times of blessings that the devil's going to come to us. And what do? When we hear these lies, when we know the attack, what do? We are going to resist him steadfast, not in our strength. Look at it, church. Whom resists, that means to take your stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. The faith is here, the truths of God. The Bible says, if you know the truth of God, the truth will set you free. Knowing, watch it, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Had a great afternoon with the preacher and his sweet family. Y'all have an awesome pastor and pastor's family. Amen. And I'm a preacher on how y'all love them this week. I know you do, but I think the more you love on them, the more God's going to bless you. I kid you not. I think it's a biblical principle. So we're out this afternoon. It's been a few years since I've spent the afternoon playing Mario Kart and Mario Party, but we had us a big time today. I think Elijah was surprised I won as much as I did. But Elijah didn't realize my three kids had played all this stuff, right? So we're in the house and we're playing. The dogs are bonding with me left and right. The dogs are like, look, a new person. Let's hang out with him, right? Great time. We go outside. I noticed that Rebecca had kind of turned funny at one point today. Oh, I've seen that turn before. She went to sit down and she was slow. Not because she's old, by the way. Nope. She sat down. I said, you good? She said, my sciatica is just kicking me right now. And I said, so it is your L4 or L5 or S1? Now, all of y'all who've had any back issues just realized I just walked you through it pretty quick, didn't I? And she's like, I'm not real sure. I'm like, I bet it's your L5. We started walking through this thing, and we started having conversations. And I said, hey, have you done this stretch right here? And she's like, yeah, I think I have. I said, well, let me describe this stretch to you. So I said, do this stretch right here and do this stretch right here. And have you tried this? She's like, yes, I have. I said, is that helping you? She said, yes. I said, well, do this one right here. I said, if you get a minute, try this one. And we're talking and we're going back and forth. And I'm like, what kind of anti-inflammatory are you taking? She's like, I can't take any. I'm like, bless your heart. That's where you're going to have to ice her now from here out, okay? You just take some ice. Anybody got like a big ice thing somewhere, just drop it on her. Don't drop it on her. I'm just joking, okay? James is like, look, this will work. Okay, no. So I'm walking her through that because I know what my friend and my sister is going through. Because I hurt my back playing baseball when I was 19 years old and had my first herniated disc. And if I had time tonight, I would tell you there's a long story of me having two back surgeries in 21 and 22 and all of from Memorial Day of 22 up to almost Labor Day of 22, I did a ton of things I did not need to be doing, from mission trips to work in the yard, for work with the church, to traveling and preaching, and I had a broke back the entire time, and we did not know that. I got two really nice long scars from L5, S1 back surgeries, okay? I can walk. You know why? Look at it, church. Look back at it. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Corinthians tells me that what I'm supposed to do is that the mercy that God gave me, I am to give to somebody else. So I'm going to talk to my sister. I'm going to talk to my friend. I'm going to try to be a blessing to her because I want God to ease her up the way he helped me. So let me stop and say this to you tonight. When the devil's attacking, understand it's not just you. You are not the first child of God to go through this. And look at me. You're not going to be the last child of God to go through this either. There's stories and there's testimonies all over this sanctuary of times that God was allowing suffering, and yet during that testing and trying, the devil was trying to use it as an attack. If you're with me tonight, say amen. And God, look at it, verse 10, and here we go. I'm an anchor right here with this. The Bible says that the God of all, what, church? Grace. Look at it again with me. The God of all, what?
Grace.
Grace. This text is not to put our eyes on the devil. This text is to get our eyes in our suffering back on our Lord. And he says, the God of all grace. Let me tell you what he means right here. God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That means that God is stronger. He's greater. He's going to be better in quality and in quantity. And everything I face, God has got something greater for me than I can ever achieve on my own. So here's what he's saying to us right here. Know the God of grace is never going to fail you. If you believe that, say amen tonight. When this morning you came and prayed, and you said, all right, God, here it is. Whatever it was, when you came and prayed, whether it was at an altar or at a pew tonight, you were coming to the God of all grace. You know the devil was attacking, but you know God was acting. And so you were receiving that into your life. You were believing that. You were praying that through. You were asking, seeking, and knocking. Because I know this tonight, no matter what God allows in my life, God is not going to fail me. Not only is God not going to fail me, my God is not going to forsake me. In fact, the Bible says in the book of James, God never even acts like he never even hints at it, that he might in any way turn from me. You're in the worst of situations. Listen to me. God's got you. When I had that last back surgery, it had not been intentional, and this is the only time my life has ever happened to me. I was getting borderline dehydrated because I really couldn't get up and move. I'd lay at the same angle for about 72 hours. That was not a lot of fun. Just thinking about it makes me want to drink some water. And so they're in, and I'm not trying to be graphic at all, but I'm in the back. I'm not a needle person. I've grown into it. They don't bother me. They don't worry me. But I'm not like volunteering for one tomorrow. Okay. Some of y'all here are like that too. It's not the thought, it's not the hurt, it's the thought of it sometimes. Well, I'm in the back. They were blowing IVs with me like crazy. These nurses are young nurses. They're good nurses. I knew one of them. They're talking to me, and they're like, Brother Gene, because they work with a girl from my church who was in PACU, we're going to take care of you. I said, listen, I know y'all are. I didn't really know the girl that well, but I knew her. They put the first IV in, blew it. Second one blew. Third one blew. Listen to me. When we got to the ninth IV, y'all feeling that yourself right now, aren't you? I'm like, y'all? They're like, we'll just start it when you're in the back. And I laughed, and I'm like, we couldn't have figured that out a little bit earlier. But I remember laying there. I was on my abdomen. I was laying there. Listen to me. Look at me. They were doing everything they could to help me. Galatians 6, 1 through 2 says that sometimes in us helping people, there's going to be some pain involved. Maybe everything you've ever been told by a brother or friend or sister in Christ, maybe everything your pastor tells you doesn't make you always feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. Maybe sometimes he's starting an IV to help you. And there's going to be a little bit of a prick when he brings it up, but it's not to hurt you. What is it for? It's to help you. God says here, listen to me, I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. And look at this with me as well. I'm not going to forget you. And forsake and forget go right along together when the God of all grace. So when I know that I'm going through these seasons of suffering, I know that God is not going to leave me. He's going to lead me, right? He's not going to abandon me. He's going to act for me. My God is going to work and move in my life. He has the suffering in his hand and the clock in the other. He knows what he's wanting. He knows what he's working. He knows what he's doing. And so Peter says here, when you see the devil on the prowl, you resist him, not in your strength, but in the strength of the God of all grace, who looked at us, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. God is more interested in working in you as the person than what he is the problem. He is more concerned with you as the person than he is the problem. That's the eternal glory picture. God says, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it or accomplish it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Peter says, know this, that the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. All right, let's finish it. After that, you have, read it back to me, church, after that you have what? Suffered. Agonized.
Been painful. It's been difficult. But he says here, after we have suffered, what's the next thing he said here in our English Bibles?
A lot.
It means our suffering. There are times we're going to go through stuff. How many of you ladies have ever gone through pregnancy? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. You prayed for that. Remember that? You even talked to the Lord. You asked God to help you. I've had multiple. We have a really, I got right now at Parker Chapel, we had 12 babies in the nursery. We got 5 more on the way. You want me to anoint anybody while I'm here? So you talk to me, right? I'll bring some more to Greenville. We're going to hook everybody. I have a lady in my church. She's wonderful. She's in, her husband's in leadership with us now. But she came and met me in the office, and we prayed and asked God. I mean, got down and just met with the Lord and said, hey, she wants to have a baby. God, would you bless this sweet couple? And I mean, it was like no time. She came and told me, get swapped. Oh, yeah, it's your first time on the show. It's awesome, is it not? It's awesome. She has a very strong medical background. This is the funny thing. So we don't do this now because everything. Did y'all have this thing here called COVID? We have a thing called COVID. Yeah, it changed everything. Right? We had COVID. Everything changed. So we used to go, you go to the hospital, the pastors would go early, like when you first got there, and we walk in, they had you hooked up, and we've done this 3 times as a family. We know all about it. Our first child was very premature. Walked through a whole story about that. And they got you on that baby monitor, and they're watching those little seismic quakes happen. She's in there, that thing's going on. She looked at me straight up as she could be. She went through with me, said, you. She grabbed me by the hand, I was in there. She didn't say preacher or pastor. I go by pastor. The guy that preceded me part of the chapel, his name was Dr. Stocks. His father remembers him. We call him preacher, so I've always honored him with that title. She didn't say pastor. She didn't say bishop, which is another favorite term I have, okay? She was, y'all supposed to laugh, and she was awesome. I kind of got by you for a minute. Y'all like, really? She grabs me by the hand, and she says, Gene. Because, see, in church, I'm brother, pastor, and friend. I triangulate all of this. All my relationships complement together, okay? She said, Gene, I can't do this. Y'all, it's true as day can be long. She's like, I cannot do this. I'm like, rest assured, you're going to do this. today. All right? We find out we have the grace of God. All grace. Hallelujah. I woke up one morning. It was Christmas morning. I thought I was about to die. I feel awful. What have I got? I don't have a flu shot in the world. I feel terrible. As the day went on, it got a little better. I was like, oh, she might have something I ate at Christmas Eve or something. The next day, my parents were coming over. We had some bad weather that year at Christmas. And I'm like, I'm about to die again. What is wrong with me? My dad's talking to me. He's like, what's up with you? I'm like, dad, I feel awful. He's like, really? I said, yeah, I thought I'd eaten something, but it's like back-to-back days at the same time. He said, is anything bothering you with smell? Should it be? I said, no, sir. He said, if it happens tomorrow, talk to me. Day three, I get up and I'm sick as a dog. I'm like, what has happened to me? About lunchtime, I start feeling better. Everything's all right. Summertime, we're going, but why do you women are laughing right now against the house of God? Have y'all ever heard of sympathy sickness? Victim. That shot up looked like me. For 40 days, excuse me, not 40 days and 40 nights. For me to go through that, if Leslie, I mirrored my wife, that's a close marriage. If she couldn't eat eggs, I couldn't eat eggs. If she liked pickles, I liked pickles. If she was sick, I was sick. If she wasn't sick, I was sick for both of us, all right? And I don't know why women always think that's funny when I tell that church service, okay? But let me just tell you something. Those 40 days and 40 nights, I kid you not, gentlemen, I got closer to the Lord. Now, I've already talked with him already, but we had some more conversations during that time. Are y'all ready for this evening? Alright. Look at your text. After you suffer for a while, just like a lady having a baby, there are some things in your life. Listen, God's going to burn it out of you. And maybe it's something you ask him about. You maybe say, God, did you do this for me? You came up here and you prayed. Listen to me. Let's put feet on our prayers. You came right here and prayed, Lord, my knees hurt me so bad. I don't know what to do. Lord, can you please help me? He said, absolutely. I'm going to help you. I'm going to touch you. And I'm going to do a great work in you. And it got a little better. But you finally broke down, literally, and said, I got to go to the doctor. You go to the doctor sends you to get an MRI. They look at you and say, you need two knee replacements. You're like, Lord, where are you at? He's like, I'm right here, daughter. You said you would never be better. But I thought you were going to just heal me. And he said, I am. And so now you got to go through a knee replacement. Welcome to day three of a knee replacement. You will know the Lord in a new way, I promise you. Okay? But did God help me? Look at me. Say amen, my God. God's ever got you through some stuff. Did God help? See, what the devil is trying to abuse is what God is going to use. But we got to make sure we're looking at it through a biblical lens. Let me show you this in closing. You ready? He says here, but the God of all grace, right? He doesn't fail me. He doesn't forsake me. He does not forget me. Who hath called us into his eternal glory, Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect. Let me come back to that. Then Peter says that God is going to establish us. He's going to strengthen us. And he's going to settle us. That is why we understand it's progressive sanctification right there. God is going to establish himself in us. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to build my life on the rock. That's not an easy thing. I've got to dig down on that rock. That rock is Jesus. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to build my life on Christ. He's going to establish me. We've already touched on the whole idea of strengthening. Right? He starts strengthening me. He increases some of the weights of my life. But I learn to give it to him. I learn from the God of grace to work in my life. And I get stronger. And then listen, I've lived a little while. I've learned some things. He begins to settle me. The idea of settling there. Where's my strength coach at from that? Where we go? You've been through some storms, haven't you? You better believe. You've been through some mess, haven't you? But why you got to put strength before I come in for the Bible? We'll walk away from that.
I thought they had some
lessons. Elijah's jumping in tag team. There we go. Okay. I bet you've seen some storms that we haven't seen, haven't you? No doubt.
I turned one over
one time. But you got to a point, what did you say, you did 31 years? Because I understand He's the God of all grace. He's got everything I need whenever I need it. Whatever season I'm in, God's got the answer. So be aware and be awake, because the devil, your adversary, is going to accuse and slander. So you resist that wrong thinking. You don't give way to a lie. You give way to a life that says, God, you've got all the grace I need, and you are going to use this to strengthen, establish, and settle me. So here make you perfect. You know this song. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
All right. Now we're in the plane. We're coming close to the runway. I want you to put your seatbelts on, put your tray tables up, pull your chairs to the upright position. Because we're about to land this thing. Listen to me. That same worry is used in the Gospels. It's used in the Gospels when Jesus finds Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and He's talking to them, and the Bible says what they're doing when He comes up on them is they are same Greek word. Translated differently, it means the same thing. The Gospels say that they are mending their nets. Adrian Rogers said the church is a bunch of nothings all tied together to God and each other. That's how God makes the body of Christ, like a net. That's what we are. So the picture that all people, listen, of all people for God to inspire, you're talking about the Apostle Peter, talking about dealing with the devil. This is the same one, this is the same Peter, that the Bible says that one time he looked at Jesus and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, You are the Messiah. And Jesus says in front of all the apostles, Peter, the Spirit of God gave you that. In the next scene, in the Gospels, Jesus is telling them, I ain't going to die. Peter's like, no, I don't think so. Peter's like, you're going to kill everybody, your mom. That's in Southern vernacular, but that's what he meant. And that same phrase, right after the Spirit of God gave you this, Jesus looks at Peter and says, what? Satan, get thee behind me. And Peter is highs and lows. Did he not? And then Peter is the one who's tasked about writing about the devil. And how the devil attacks in the worst of moments. Kind of like, Peter is following Jesus at the mock trial, and he's kind of standing off from them, and some maidens are coming up to him saying, aren't you a follower of him? And Peter's like, no, I don't know who he is. Don't you know him? Nope, I don't know him. Peter keeps moving. He keeps moving spots. Finally, he's by the fire, wringing his hands, and this maiden comes back and says, surely you're a woman, you're a Galilean. And Peter, listen to me, cursed heavy. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. He didn't drop a D, he didn't drop an H. Peter basically dropped an F-bomb. That's how strong that was when Peter said that. And I am very gracious and careful how I say that, but that's how bad Peter messed up. And then he is the one that Jesus Christ reconciles and restores back into ministry. And this is the one that Peter says, the devil will come at you. Do you think Peter is qualified to write about the devil from that tonight?
Amen.
And says, the God of all grace.
Amen.
In all of it. Woo! He's not failing you, forsaking you, or forgetting you. He's going to be faithful to you. And what you think the devil was going to use to tear you apart is the exact thing that God, by His grace, is using in your life to tie all together. Somebody say amen. God is not going to let the devil have right, but all of a sudden, like, strengthened and established and settled me. Here's what I understand. Listen, church, God is not tearing my life apart. God is tying it all together.
Amen.
And look at verse 11. And the plane's going to land, and we're praying. And to him, not us, but to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you tonight for this time being your word. Thank you for how receptive this church has been all day. They could not have been any better tonight in the preaching. Lord, how they've listened. And Lord, how they've anchored in. Lord, I wonder tonight. I know we prayed this morning. I know it was a good time of prayer. But I wonder tonight, Lord, we told some life stories tonight, one just to connect. They are a little bit humorous. But, Lord, real people go through real things. There's some real hurt that's in this room. There's some real disappointment that's in this room. There's some real concern that's in this room. Lord, tonight, we don't want the devil to get the victory. We don't want the devil to get the final say. We don't want the devil to get the last word. Lord, we tonight want to stand on the rock who is Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to resist, not give up, not give way, and not give in. Lord, you haven't called us to give up. You called us to step up and get up, go after you. Because you will not fail us. You will not forget us. You have not forsaken us. Lord, this whole time we think everything's being torn apart. Lord, it's not being torn apart. Because we're a child of God tonight. Because we serve our Master who is known by the name and title, the God of all grace. Lord, it's not being torn apart. It's being all tied together. And Lord, may we give you glory tonight. So I pray whatever it is in our lives tonight, whether it's a marriage, whether it's something with a child, whether it's something at work, whether it's something physically tonight, Lord, that we are saying, God, I'm going to trust you. You are the God of grace. I know you're at work. Lord, I'm going to submit myself to you again, God, that you're tying it all together. Lord, whatever that situation is tonight, that we know we've had hurt and disappointment. We've had rejection. We felt the sip of failure. God, we know you're greater than that. Help us to be awake and aware of that tonight. Alert. How the devil wants to accuse us and tear us down. God, you've come to lift us up. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. You're our Master. You are our divine teacher. You are the greatest answer to prayer we're ever going to have tonight. So I pray that, Lord, tonight people would bring marriages and children and homes and family and jobs and health issues to a place of prayer and just recommit by saying, God, tonight I need your grace. I need you to do for me what I cannot do for myself. Lord, I've needed to be reminded tonight, you're not tearing my life apart. Lord, you're tying it all together. Lord, through that, you're strengthening me. You're establishing. You're settling. Lord, I come tonight to give you the glory. Lord, I'm going to give you the glory for saving me. I'm going to give you the glory for securing me. I'm going to give you the glory for strengthening me. Lord, I'm going to give you the glory tonight that maybe in this situation is not even done, but Lord, I got the victory tonight. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Lord, tonight we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us and saved us. Nothing can separate us tonight from the perfect love of God. Lord, that's how we rejoice, even in the midnight hour, Lord. We will give you praise for it. Lord, tonight as we pray for a moment and we get ready to have a time of invitation, would you help these dear folks here at First Free Will? You know, sometimes I come to an altar because it's all torn up. Lord, tonight, doesn't matter our age, we need to come to an altar. And we may need to acknowledge the devil's trying to tear this up. Maybe he's trying to tear me up from the inside out.
You want us to come to the God of all grace tonight, who will only receive. He will not reject. Lord, there's others tonight who need to come and say, Lord, I'm not coming to pray because something's wrong. I'm coming to pray because things are right. God, you have answered. You have blessed. You have tied it all together. Lord, I didn't know when, I didn't know where, and I didn't know how, but God, you've done it. And I want to come tonight and give you praise and glory for it. Father, we've had a great day of worship. May we now have a great time of response as your Spirit moves. What is it tonight you need just to commit to God and say, God, you're tying it all. I know you are, Lord. I got to be patient with it, but you're tying this together. What is it tonight you need to come and say, Lord, listen, I want to thank you for what you already have done. We don't need to miss that, church. Lord, I want to thank you for what you've already done. Your pastor's going to come right now. I'm going to ask you to stand. We did this morning. Would you stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed? We have a time of prayer and reverence. What is it that God is wanting to tie together in your life? What is it tonight you need to say, Lord, I know that's it. I'm going to give it to you. The God of all grace. What is it tonight you need to come and say, Lord, you know what? I want to thank you for what you've already done. Hey, bring your problems, but listen to me, church. Let's bring our praises. Would you come tonight? Come and kneel, come and stand, come and sit. What is it the God of all grace is trying to show you this evening? Your pastor's going to come take this invitation. You let the Lord work right now. You'd be so glad you did.